Open your Bibles tonight to the first book of Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. I want us to begin reading in chapter 1 at verse 26 and read down through the greater part of chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." The one true God, He who alone is God and He who is one God, said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." The one God, Jehovah, is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three divine, distinct persons in one eternal Godhead. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. At the very opening of the book of God, we see a clear demonstration of the three persons of the Godhead of the divine Trinity. God states emphatically the fact of creation. You and I did not evolve from some lower species of life. God created man. And we're told specifically that God created our father Adam in the image of God. He created Adam as a representative man in the image of the one who would come in time, the God-man, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a figure, a type, a picture, a similitude of our Lord Jesus. And we're told that plainly in Romans chapter 5, verse 14. So Adam was created in the physical image of God the Son, who would come the last man, the last Adam, our representative. He was created in the image of Christ in that he was a representative man, representing all the human race, so that everything Adam did in the garden, we did in him. When he sinned against God, we sinned against God. When he died, we died. So too, our Lord Jesus Christ is our representative. When he lived in righteousness, we lived in him. When he died under the wrath of God, we died in him. When he arose, we arose. When he ascended, we ascended. When he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, we sat down with him in heavenly places. And God made man in Christ's image to have dominion. To have dominion. Dominion over everything. Dominion over the fish in the sea, the fowl in the air, all animals, all creeping things, all things in heaven, and all things on earth, God alone excepted. And so it shall be. When God is finished, as He purposed in the beginning, it shall be in the end, and all God's elect in Christ our mediator shall have dominion over everything. We will sit upon thrones with God our Savior. Read on, verse 28. And God blessed them. God blessed this original couple, Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. I created this whole thing for you. I created this whole thing for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He stopped working. So he gives us here at this place in Holy Scripture in the beginning a wonderful picture of salvation by his grace. How are sinners saved? They stop working. They stop working. They rest in Christ the Lord. Christ is our Sabbath. We do not keep a physical Sabbath day because Christ is our Sabbath. We keep a Sabbath of faith. Read on. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium there, an onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now I call your attention to one word in verse 16. Freely. Of every tree of the garden, God said to Adam, thou mayest freely eat. Freely. Freely. This is the first time the word is used in the Scriptures. And I have gone through the Word of God this day and looked at every place where this word is used. And everywhere it is used in the book of God, this word freely in the Old Testament and in the New is connected with God and his grace. God's work of grace or God's grace in his people. The word means without cause, without condition, without qualification, without constraint or coercion, without cost. That which is free, That which is free, is uncaused. It's unconditional. It's unqualified. It's unconstrained. It's uncoerced. In the beginning, before sin entered into the world, as we've read here in Genesis 1 and 2, everything was free. Everything was free. Everything. Everything God did for and with Adam was free. Every gift, every blessing, every privilege, everything was free. And everything Adam did for and with God was free. Completely free. Nothing forced, nothing coerced, nothing bartered for. Everything was free. Then sin entered into the world and everything changed. Sin brought with it bondage and fear and death. There's only two ways to control sin. Death and law. If God did not destroy the sinner immediately, he would control his sin by law, threatening the sinner with punishment. There's no deterrent for sin. No deterrent for ungodliness. No deterrent for rebellion in a natural sense, except law. But law can't change the sinner. Law can't show forth the glory of God. Law can't display God's character. All the law can do is control the sinner and condemn the sinner. Religion is built on bondage. All religion except truth. All religion except the gospel. Our Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and said, "Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go." Religion says, "Bind him firmer and don't let him out of your sight." The whole religious world seeks to bind people. It doesn't matter whether it's papacy or Hinduism or Islam or Judaism or Protestantism. It doesn't matter. The whole religious world seeks to bind folks. Hold them tight. Give them rules to live by. Seek to govern their lives and regulate them. All except the gospel of God's free grace. God's people live freely. We worship God freely. And that's my subject this evening, freely. The entrance of sin also made a way for grace to be revealed. We read here of the tree of life. Without question, I can say the tree of life portrays our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is called the tree of life. Full of life, full of grace, full of truth. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I won't say this emphatically, but I am fairly well persuaded, appears to represent the law, that by which comes both the knowledge of sin and the death it brings. The law entered that the offense might abound, that sin might be seen for what it is, a horrible affront to God. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I would urge you to read again the opening chapters of Genesis and behold the grace, the superabounding grace of our God in Christ Jesus as is set before us here. In Genesis 3, Adam is lost and he's made himself some fig leaf aprons, and he and Eve are hiding from God. And God came walking in the garden, and he called Adam. Oh, what a picture of God's grace. Not Adam, the lost one, seeking the Lord, but rather God coming to seek the sinner who had sinned against him. Not only did the Lord God call Adam, he brought Adam to himself. That's what God's call does. It's always effectual. And he made a sacrifice for him. And he stripped off those fig leaves. And Adam, that one who was created and was naked before God and was unashamed, now is naked before God I can just picture the horror he has, but God strips off the fig leaves and that man, embarrassed and ashamed, is covered with skins of those innocent victims slain in his stead. And thus God portrays how it is that he saves sinners. God comes to sinners and he strips them of their righteousness. He strips you of your imaginary goodness so that you are made to blush before God with the conviction of sin. And he reveals to you Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain in the sinner's stead, and puts on you the perfect righteousness of his own dear Son. And then Genesis 3:15, God promised a Redeemer who would come, the woman's seed, one who is God, but is a man, who comes in the world, the woman's seed, to crush the serpent's head. And this one whom the Lord God would send is our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. He drove them out of the garden to keep the way of the tree of life. He drove them out of the garden to keep the way of the tree of life, to protect, to preserve, to guard, to hold firm the way of the tree of life. It was God's grace, not his wrath, that's revealed in driving Adam and Eve from the garden. He did this and placed cherubim with a flaming sword east of Eden to guard and keep the way of life, turning every way to protect it. That flaming sword by which the triune Jehovah kept the way of life at last was found in our Redeemer at Calvary, buried in our Savior's side when he died for our sins, the crucified one. Awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow, smite and slay the shepherd. That sword by which God guarded and still guards, kept and still keeps the way of the tree of life, is nothing short of God's holy, perfect justice. You see, God always does everything in justice. God always does everything in justice. God never exercises mercy. God never shows his love. God never displays grace at the expense of justice. He is a just God and a Savior. And the Lord God tells us even in the very beginning of the book, there is no way for sinners to be saved except justice be satisfied. And the only way justice can be satisfied is by the sacrifice of his darling Son. Now, all of this was done freely. Freely. In grace, everything is free. All that God does for sinners is free. All that God does for sinners is free. And all that those who worship God do for him, they do freely. Freely. Everything God does for his people, he does only because he wills to do it. And everything God's people do for God, they do only because they will to do it. Everything is free in God's free grace. You can't talk about grace and law in the same breath. The two are mutually exclusive. God's grace toward us is free. And the grace of God in us causes us to serve him freely. Wherever you find grace, in God or in man, it acts freely. Without condition, without qualification, freely. It's not something purchased, not something earned, it's free. And in every case since the fall of our father Adam, where this word freely is used, It is used in this connection with God's grace, and it tells us that God's grace is free. Let's look at just a few of them this evening. First, turn to Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, very familiar text. Hosea chapter 14. Here is God's counsel to us. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Don't you love how God reasons with us? I can't imagine this. Return to me because you don't deserve to return. Return to me because you have gone astray from me. Return to me because you deserve my wrath. Look what it says. O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. We think we can't call on God. Somehow or another, Satan deludes us. And we think we can't call on God because we're so sinful, we're so dead, we're so cold-hearted, we're so empty, we're so vile, so filthy. How can I call on God? That's just the argument God gives. He said, return to me, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. What's that mean? Lord, take away our sin. Receive us graciously, and we'll praise you. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. Lord, we've forsaken all, and here we are, sinners, corrupt and vile, with no help and no strength, fatherless, but with thee, the fatherless find mercy. Now hear what God promises to all who turn to him, to all who trust his dear son. Look at verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I hope I don't quit looking for these things, and I hope you do look for them. In the scriptures, so often when God speaks, Psalm 89 is a perfect example. Here in Hosea 14:4, another, the scriptures speak of them and him. Them and him. Them and him. He says, David, that he will heal our backsliding. And he will love us freely. And this is the reason. For mine anger is turned away from him. From him. What's that talking about? God poured out all the fury of his holy and just anger on his darling son at Calvary. Until his fury was satisfied, and fury now is not in him. Therefore, he says, I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. I got no reason to be angry with you. I've turned away my anger from him. In free love, he chose us. In free love, he redeemed us. In free love, he called us. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This was very familiar to you. Verse 24. The apostle tells us that we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Justification is being made righteous by God. I wrote earlier in my notes, justification is being made righteous before God. And I reckon that's all right. But we tend to think, when we use words like that, that we're justified in God's sight, but that's not really the way it is. That's just how it appears to be before God. No, to be justified is to be made righteous by God. It is to be made righteous by God. Now, I realize that brilliant theologians think your pastor's a real dummy and he doesn't get things straight and confuses things, and he confuses justification and sanctification and redemption and regeneration and all that. No, they're the ones confused. I got it right. Let me tell you what this is, to be made righteous by God. We're made righteous by God, imputing to us the righteousness of Christ from eternity. We were accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. That's what the book says. Now, folks can argue with it, jump up and down, and hoot and holler all they want to. We were accepted in Christ before the world was justified, we're told, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. That's what the book says. Justified before ever time began. You couldn't have been accepted with God from eternity, Bill, if you weren't just and righteous before God. We were righteous in Christ Jesus the Lord from everlasting. For as long as Christ has stood as our surety, we have stood before God righteous in Him. Righteous in Him. Righteousness declared to be ours because it is ours. Righteousness declared to be our character because it is our character. Righteousness declared to be our record because it is our record. We're one with Him whose name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But not only is that so, this righteousness earned by our Savior's obedience when He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That is, He was delivered into the hands of divine justice and put to death because of our offenses made His. And when sin was put away, He was raised again because justification was accomplished by Him at Calvary. And that righteousness, which He fulfilled by His obedience unto death, is imputed to us consciously when we believe on the Son of God. Our hearts being sprinkled with the precious blood of Christ in sanctification, in regeneration, when we're given a holy nature and we believe on the Son of God, the righteousness of God is made ours experimentally, so that being justified, we are right in God's eyes. Always right in God's eyes. Well, Pastor, that kind of mixes election and redemption and justification and regeneration and sanctification all together. Doesn't it? It sure does, because you can't separate them. It's the whole of God's salvation. And this righteousness, which God has made us in Christ, is free. Without qualification, without cause, without condition, without cost. Free. Free. Several years ago, I wrote a small booklet that arose from a couple of sermons I preached here. The title of it is What Does It Mean to Be Reformed? You can look it up on the internet. And it caused no small stir amongst workmongers, folks who claim to believe grace, but they still teach that somehow or another that actually justification, this righteousness, is conditioned upon you believing. And I spent a good bit of time demonstrating clearly the Scriptures do not teach that. Our faith does not justify us. Our faith does not make us righteous. Our faith is not the cause of God doing anything. Our faith is the result of God doing something in us. And that faith receives God's free justification. That faith receives the atonement. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Faith doesn't make atonement. Faith doesn't make righteous. Faith doesn't make us justified. Faith receives these things by God's free grace in Christ Jesus the Lord. We're justified freely by the grace of God. Freely, but through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Free to us, but oh, what it cost our Savior. It cost Him His life's blood. It cost Him taking to Himself all the fury of infinite intensity, holiness, justice, and truth. In God, the offended God, when He was made sin for us, He suffered all the intense, indescribable, infinite hell of God's wrath. At one time, until God said, okay, that's enough. That's enough. I require no more. Enough. 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 This is free justification. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. The Lord Jesus gives this salvation freely. And He invites you and me to take the salvation He freely gives. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you'll never take it if He doesn't work it in you. But you've got to take it. Yep, you sure do. Faith is an active thing. Faith is reaching out and taking the Lord. Faith is receiving Christ. Faith is laying hold on Christ. Faith is coming to Christ. Read what it says. Verse 6, Revelation 21. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm sorry, verse 17 of chapter 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. What does that next word say? What does it say? What does it say? And whosoever will. Whosoever will. I have a good friend, Brother Herbert Wilson, an old man now, who pastored Rosemont Church in Winston-Salem for years. And somebody said to him one time, said, you folks don't believe in whosoever will. He said, yes, we do. Right here it is. We most certainly do. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. We just don't believe in whosoever won't. Whosoever will, would you like to have God's salvation? I mean, really, do you want God's salvation? Do you want God's forgiveness? Do you want Christ's redemption? Do you want God's righteousness? Do you want Christ Himself? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me try one more time. One more time. Let's suppose I don't know who fixed that glass of water. This time I know who did it. Sometimes I go places I don't have any idea who did it. I wonder if that's for me. I wonder if it was set there for me. Well, it doesn't have my name on it. But I don't see any fences around it. I don't see anybody guarding it. Man, I sure would like to have a drink of water. I wonder if that was for me. Don't y'all pay attention now. I know it was, because I got it. I know it was because I got it. Take the water of life freely. 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 And I'm going to tell you something. If you're thirsty, you will. If you want it, you will. If you don't, you go to hell. And when you take the water of life freely, I'll quit here, but you look up the other passages in the scriptures. You worship God freely. 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 Freely receive, freely give. I preach the gospel freely to you, the apostle told the Corinthians. Everything believers do for Christ is done freely. And if it's not done freely, Merle, you didn't do it for God. That's just right. That's just right. Well, don't you think you need to put pressure on folks? Well, I do. The pressure of free grace. The pressure of free grace. But we don't establish rules, and we don't have covenants and creeds and confessions and laws for folks to go by and holy days and Sabbath days. And you have to read so much scripture and you have to pray so much time. I actually know of a congregation. Listen. No folks who used to attend the congregation. Fellow claimed to believe free grace and had produced a lot of good stuff. If you missed service, you had to report as to what happened, why. And you had to get the tape of the message and listen to it and then write down enough so the pastor knew and the deacons knew that you had listened to it. And it was just intimidating like, no, not God's, not the worship of God. Free, free. What do you reckon ought to give? Whatever you want to. Whatever you... What do I need to do? Whatever you want to. Whatever you want. How can I help? Any way you want to. Any way you want to. How many services should I attend this week? Just as many as you want to. Just as many as you want to. And I promise you, I won't berate you if you don't come. If folks come and they don't show up, and I don't know why they're not here, I'll call. And I'll call a few times. But after a few times calling and getting excuses, you know, I had an eyelash in my eye, or my dog needed feeding, or walking, or pooping, or something. Now you think I'm joking. I've heard folks tell it. I've had folks tell me they didn't stay for service because they had to take their dog out. Just go take your dog out. That's exactly right. Do what you want to. Do what you want to. Do what you want to. That's exactly what you're going to do. What you want to. God did what He wanted to when He saved us by His grace. God did what He wanted to when He sent His Son to redeem us. God did what He wanted to when He chose us as His own. Made us His sons and daughters. And I'm doing what I want to as I seek to honor Him. How about you? How about you? Amen.